5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Genre Banter podcast. We're going to pretend like we were just talking about wanking there 10 seconds ago. My guest today, Adam Rowe from the legendary Have a Word podcast. This is a bit of charity work for you, is it? Stepping down a few notches.
Look, I've got tour dates to sell, yeah. Mate, okay? Yeah. Big old one in Belfast. There's one in Derry as well. There's we're going all down the UK, down the world, so I will do any... if someone wants to put a mic on, record it and put it on the internet, I'll do anyone's fucking show at the minute, okay? It's a pleasure to be here.
Have you another bit? And Aaron's here as well, for fuck's sake.
Oh, yeah. Like the furniture at this stage?
Like the furniture. Just here now. Have you another show booked for like another tour in Belfast, is it?
Yes, so my tour starts in... it starts technically in October in the UK and coming over to Ireland as well. Doing a lot more Irish states this time than we did last time. It was just Belfast and Dublin. Mm-hmm. This time we've got Belfast, Derry, Dublin, Galway. Limerick, Cork. There's a few more this time.
Nice.
7th of December, I think, is the Belfast show. Nice. And then the rest of the Irish ones are all in the same week in January. But Limelight 1, 7th of January.
Limelight 7th of December. Yeah. Fucking right. That place nearly burnt down yesterday. We walked past the Limelight yesterday and the fucking, you know, one of those wall mounted like ashtrays was just fucking on fire basically. Had to put it out with a bottle of water.
Yeah. And we had a van of workmen being like, you just go do some fucking work, boys. What is that? And they got immediately defensive, being like, oh, we're just going to, you know.
Yeah, we're working too.
Aye.
Have you played Galway before?
No.
It's fucking banging.
I've heard it's great.
Yeah.
So last time I went over to Dublin, someone was like, why haven't you added Galway? And I was like, because I haven't got the following yet to be doing so many dates in different places. Like, it's easier for you to get to Dublin than it is for me to get to Galway. So just come and meet
me. It's easier for me to get to Dubai than it is to get to Galway. It's a fucking nightmare of a drive. It's like fucking... When you go on Google Maps where I live, you can go across country.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Dublin and go across. And it is it's a longer drive time-wise. But as the crow flies is like over the fucking, like, yeah. I had to stop one time because it was on a lane basically, and I was like, this is not the main road to fucking Galway. Like, my car's worth about half the money it was when I left, for fuck's sake. But it's great that Galway's like, it, you know, when an American thinks about going to Ireland, they're like, that's what they picture when you pull up on Galway.
I'm very excited about it. I'm bringing a couple of support acts over for the Irish week. I'm bringing me tour manager over, who's a mate of mine. He's going to do all the driving and it's going to make a proper week of it. Like, the shows are going to feel more like little afterthoughts. It's just going to be a week of traveling around Ireland. But we couldn't get the Belfast show because we're doing Limelight 1 again. We couldn't get it to sort of line up with the same thing. So the tour promoter was like, do you want to just fly to Belfast for a one-off? Like, it's cheaper to get to Belfast for me than it is to get to London.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
The flight's like 12 quid or whatever.
So you don't get your fucking luggage, you know what I mean?
It's 25 minutes on the plane.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, so the 7th of December, that's the second to last date this year. That's the 7th of December's there, then the 9th of December's the Manchester Apollo, and then I take a break till the end of January then, and then we start again.
Class.
So you're doing Derry as well?
Yeah, the Millennium Centre.
Yeah, they're notoriously good crowds.
It's
up
great
there
as well. Yeah,
Derry's amazing.
I'm very excited. It's just going to be a great week. I don't know all the venues. Doing the Olympia in Dublin. I initially I was like, let's do Vicar Street, mm-hmm. but then we put a podcast show in Vicar Street.
Yeah,
and I was like, I like collecting venues, me. Do you know what I mean? I like being able to, oh, I've done that one. Oh, I've done that one. I've done that one. And then I'll do both and decide which one I love and then probably do that one forever as long as like I can keep selling the tickets. Like,
Vicar Street's got that sort of slap to it when you tell somebody like, I'm doing Vicar Street, they're like, nice. You could say like Three Arena, which is, you know, like 10,000 people, but you know, they're like, okay. And then you're like, I'm doing Vicar Street. And they're like, really?
Yeah.
Fucking right, nice.
Vicar Street's got a particular thing for me because Dylan Morden's Monster is probably my... It's defo top five and probably top two or three stand-up specials ever. Mm. So, and that was filmed there. So for me, that's like a big...
It's weird that he's one of the only ones, like, all of my influences are American.
Yeah.
But he's one of the only, like, or one of the few anyway, like Irish or British comedians. And I'm like, oh, he's one of my favourites too. He's up there.
Dylan Moran, and I think still to this day, Kevin Bridges. I think Kevin Bridges is the only comic working... in the UK who hasn't really done America that would just fly if he did.
Yeah.
I just think he can't be asked. I think he's quite happy in and millions and millions and millions.
That's it. And I get jealous of him too because he's not playing that game that everyone else is playing at the minute, which is the fucking do this and get my socials good and all. He just got up one day, scratched his hole and was like, I'm doing fucking, you know, 100 arenas. He's like, all right, bang, sold out.
I think he's absolutely unbelievable. Mickey Flanagan's great as well, if you want to sort, but... I think generally speaking, the American top level is so far ahead of over here. And even in Ireland, you've got Tommy Tiernan. Who else is really like at that really high level? That
I mean, the other weird one that sort of goes under the radar is like Jim Owen.
Because
he'd be doing like arenas in Australia and shit like that. And you're like, I can't even understand the company. You know what I mean? <He's good. laughs> What's he saying?
Who would be like some of your American comedians you really like?
My taste in American comedy has become really eclectic, really, and I love them all. Like, obviously, Bill Burr was one of my sort of gateways to that American abrasive style of stand-up, where it was like, here's what I think, I know you're upset, but here's five jokes that make it okay. I think Patrice O'Neill's in the conversation to be the best who ever done it, but I think it's hard to make that argument because he only had one full-length special, so we never know what he would have done after that. Chappelle's got some of the best stand-up anyone's ever done, but then he's also got some dog shit in his past few specials as well, where you're like, you know, you might see that at a gong show, but then he will literally then do, he'll do a gong show level joke and then do like a monologue for 15 minutes that Shakespeare couldn't fucking write. And you're like,
that's it.
How have you not cut that joke from before? How's that made the edit? And then you're following it with this soliloquy that no one could ever come up with.
It is funny to think of like comedians that like are so revered and like everyone universally loves them, and you're watching a special and you're like, this would get gonged off for sure.
Literally, I think like...
They're a bit older and they're like, you know, like Seinfeld's like, what's the deal with iPhones? So, you know, like you're fucking 2 decades too late for that shit, you know?
I think there's a lot of like, what I call it like open spot syndrome. You know, when you can see in a comic that they're just not quite 100% comfortable with what they're saying or who they are. Uh-huh. I think Ricky Gervais has got a million little
Them. Sure. Yeah.
Like, he's got some really great bits, but there's times where I'm like, Christ.
Who was I talking to about that recently? I was like...
It was about the talking funny thing, wasn't it?
Who was I fucking? I can't remember, but I was saying like, you know, when you see somebody like smoke in a movie and they don't really smoke, that's Gervais.
Yeah,
like he can look like he's doing it, but there's like a bit of finesse missing.
He's seen other people have a ciggy.
Aye, he's got it in between the wrong. But it is that thing. Like the bits are good and they're well written and whatever, but it just doesn't come off smooth the way someone else would do.
It's just a bit jarring for me. I'm not saying he's terrible at it. I just think you can tell with Ricky Gervais that he didn't come up through comedy clubs. He didn't have to cut his teeth with and be truly comfortable in what he's doing. I think John Mulaney's latest special, Baby J, is unbelievable.
It's great,
The story in that about buying the Rolex and then selling it is just so ridiculously funny.
It's great.
He's great. And watching him have his sort of cleanness taken off him by, you know, the internet and whatever, and then to produce that special with a proper personal story is great.
I can't listen to Mulaney. And it's just the tone of his voice. And I hate to say that, but I just can't listen.
I know what you mean. I'm lucky enough with him that I can... If that was almost anyone else, I wouldn't be able to do it. But his delivery is very sort of PowerPoint presentation, isn't it? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Up on slide two.
It's very like, and this, and this, and this. But for some reason, I just... Like, I hate one-liner comics. Not that I hate them. I just, after 5 minutes, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, and I hear that a lot. Like,
But Jeselnik, I can watch two specials back to back if I'm hungover.
Yeah.
Because he has the ability to surprise me, which a one-liner comic, even the best ones, don't really. Like, once you've been a comic for a while and you're watching someone who's doing jokes, normally I go, oh, I've got the punchline for that.
Yeah, like, but they have to start playing around with, like, the pace of the jokes.
Yeah.
As a chunk, you know? That's how they keep you interested. It's like, here's three quickly, and then a bit of a drawn-out one, and then bang, 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 you know?
Jess Onuk's not really one-liners. He's jokes.
Yeah.
I think that often gets confused as well, because they're not one-liners. It is often very short stories that just have one big punchline.
Seems like Ryan Cullen, you know? It's kind of one-liners, but it's not. It's like way more engaging than just like, here's a joke, here's a joke, here's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, and he'll get everyone cancelled, the shit he says. Like, yeah. But, you know. Yeah, I'm the same. All the inspirations were like American, you know. I had to like work, like reverse engineer the comedy education. Like,
I think I'm really excited to see whatever Shane Gillis's new special is going to be.
Oh, Aaron's mate?
Yeah.
Aaron's big bro.
Because his last one was exceptional.
Yeah.
And then I seen him do what I imagine is going to be this new special in London last year, the night before the FA Cup final. So we did our podcast, and then he was like, oh, I'm going to the FA Cup final. I was like, oh, sure, I'm going to be in London the night before. And he went, oh, come and open me show. I was late. I didn't realise what, because it said 9:30 start on the thing, but that was his stage time. Mm-hmm. So the support act were meant to go on at like 8:30.
Christ.
So, that's right. Because it was me and Elliot, and then you landed down. I think you were like the last support act before he came on.
Yeah, so I wasn't meant to be on.
Yeah.
He'd done our show, and he was like, oh, if you're going to be coming to hang out, just do a set. And I was like, all right, whatever. So I got to London really early. I met my mate, Shannon, and just went and got drunk. We were just having a drink in the afternoon. I thought, oh, it's not a big deal. And he rang me when I was in the car on the way to the gig, and he was like, oh, what the fuck are you doing? Why aren't you there? And I was like, 9:30 start. He was like, no, that's my stage time. I was like, oh, I didn't know, lad. He was like, I don't know whether they're gonna like let you go on. And I was like, to be honest with you, I'm not like desperate, like it's fine. And then he texted me and was like, no, they're gonna put you on. I've told them they've got to. So I got there and I was like, right, when am I on? They went, well, we're gonna just do Aaron and Elliot first, then we'll have a break. And then you can just go on and bring Shane on. Yeah. You can just bring him up.
It's so funny thinking of him being panicked. Like, he's ringing you up, be like, dude, what the fuck? Where are you?
I'm like, I'm fucking sick of margaritas deep, mate.
You've told me about three stories that were time stamped with football matches.
Yeah.
You were like, oh yeah, it was after the FA Cup. What was the other one about Chappelle? Like, Chappelle doing hot water. And like, he's going on stage. You're like, yeah, just fucking, we're an extra time here. Give us a second here.
That was literally when Chappelle turned up at hot water. That's the only time I've ever left a Liverpool game early. And it was
Did you tell him that? Listen, Dave, you're a lucky man.
I met him that night and we spoke for hours, literally hours, about all sorts of comedy. He got told like about Have a Word and he was like, oh, I've heard you host this podcast. He's hammered and stoned and whatever. Took him for a Chinese meal. We were in the Chinese restaurant until about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. There's a photograph I can give you if you want to slide it in here. It's the Liverpool comedy scene, Jeff Ross and Dave Chappelle in what looks like someone's nan's room in the 90s. And then the next night, he did the arena with Chris Rock as like a doubleheader headline show. And I went backstage afterwards with Carl, who's on our podcast. Uh-huh. And we were introduced to him and he said, nice to meet you. I'd spent 6 hours with him the night before eating Chinese till 4 in the morning and he had no recollection
That's
of us
hilarious. Whatsoever. I was shit-faced.
And I didn't have the heart to go, oh.
But them fuckers go out and they have like, I remember seeing a story of like his photographer or something and they have like the fucking IV drips in the next day and stuff like that.
Fucking
like,
right.
That boy's partying like that.
If you were on that level, you'd be fucking, I'd be steroids and everything. I'd just be like fired into me.
Yeah,
but you want to see that photo? If you can get that photo in the Nile, right?
Yeah,
the photo is like, I was like, the physical similarity between the comedians in Liverpool and Belfast are almost exactly the same.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of similarity between the two scenes.
there's like a doppelganger in each fucking city. Just doing each other shit. Like, you show me that photo, and I was like, is that me?
That'd be like if me and you took fucking Chris Rock to Lee Garden.
Just replicate the photo.
Yeah.
That's what I would have done with Kevin Hart if he had agreed to that. Although he's a bit, you were talking about Shane eating the same thing all the time. Kevin Hart was like that. Because we've seen his rider every time and it was the same shit. Same shit every day.
What was he packing in there like?
700 Sprites.
Oh, why?
I've never seen more Sprite in my life.
The big man loves citrus.
He just fucking floor to ceiling boxes of Sprite, tequila, chicken wings, veggie wrap. That was it. Clean.
I mean, it's a good rider.
Like, do you have a go-to thing?
No, I mean, occasionally, like, sometimes with our big podcast shows, because they've got, like, a lot of production budget behind them, they're like, what's your rider? And I just, like, make something up just to... Like, I think last time I asked for... what did I ask Matthew for? He was like, what do you want? And I was like, oh, I want some green Wrigley's Extra chewing gum. I want one bag of bacon Frazzles crisps and just a bunch of seedless grapes. And then I just put at the end and three pairs of socks of different colours. Just to see if someone would go out and get three different pairs of socks of different colours.
What, they go for Umbro or what?
They just didn't get them. They were like, you fucking stupid. Like, we know you're taking the piss.
Yeah. I get, like, legit embarrassed to, like, ask for anything. I'll just be like, no, I'll just bring my own snacks, you know?
Yeah. Give him a wee Sainsbury's bag.
Legit. Slab of Stella. Yeah. I'm good to go.
Like. Sold out Waterfront Hall.
Yeah. You have a fucking meal deal in a bag, like, ready to go. Couple of munchies.
You gotta be careful with the riders.
I normally just go for beer. I normally just get us a load of Corona or, like, Peroni or whatever, and a load of bottles of water.
Peroni.
And then crisps. I'm big for crisps backstage, mate.
What's your favourite kind of brand of crisp to have before a gig?
Normally, I just go, just get
this
some
crisps.
People will just turn up with fucking Walkers, but, like, if I could pick, I'm going Thai Sweet Chicken McCoy's.
Oh, you dirty slop.
Yeah. That's very breathy before you know, talk on a mic, no?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, you can't smell your own breath, can you?
I don't know, it'd be more just the taste of the mouth for me.
That'd be fine. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
That's what the Wrigley's is for. That's what the fucking extras.
Green?
You know? I remember that when I found out that you pay for your rider out of the ticket money. Because I remember
nothing.
Well, this is what happened. I was like, oh, you know, maybe there's a few people coming back, and I was like, yeah, get a load of beer, fucking whatever, not really too fussed. Get some Jameson's, get a load of ginger, a couple of limes. And I mean, it was like 50 limes, the Jameson that you get in the fucking bar, like about that size.
And Jeroboam.
Like, yeah, just it was way too much shit. I took it all home with me. I had that bottle of Jameson.
Oh, I take it home. So we did a Half a Weird live show in Newcastle about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And they just stocked it with like 6 crates of Corona. And I was like, the fuck are they doing this for? And then I was like, do you know what they've done? They think we're going to leave them so the production staff can all just take home a Corona on our money. I walked out with fucking 2 Coronas under me thing. I had our photographer taking 2 out. And they were like, what are you doing? I was like, we've paid for them.
Yeah.
I'm taking them home.
I love that pettiness. Fuck yous.
I got handed 2 bottles of that. Is it Veuve Clicquot or what we call that shit? Fancy-ish champagne.
Oh.
And then when they handed it to me, I was like, who didn't drink this last night? You know what I mean? It's like, did Tiesto not want this when he played here last night? You know what I mean? There's no fucking way you sent somebody out for 2 bottles of this shit for me. I asked for water earlier and you had to fucking send a guy to a shop because the bar didn't have it. Fucking nightmare. But it's weird. It's exciting like a couple of times, isn't it? And then you're just like, oh, it's got a bottle of water.
I like a slice of pizza after a big show when I come off. So nice. Like sometimes we like, especially a podcast one, we're like, just get like 8 pizzas and just have them backstage. Like 4 margaritas, 4 Peronis, and then everyone's got something to eat.
I remember there was a decent, like, just pizza slice place in Liverpool last time I was down.
American pizza slice, yeah.
That was decent.
What's the reputation of that Renshaw Marketplace?
Renshaw Marketplace?
I think it's like an Asian place, thing. Yeah.
I've never been. I've heard it's good, though.
Because I did fucking hot water, and we just went there after, and everybody was messaging me like, oh, no, lad, don't eat there. You fucking shit your brains out, no.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 5-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And it was like the fucking tastiest shit I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll shit my pants for this. This is fucking great.
It's quite new, which is why I haven't been, because I've got me Chinese in Liverpool. We were discussing on the way here, my rule for Chinese, it has to look like a shithole.
Yeah.
Because that's the sign of a good Chinese.
Yeah.
Like, if you've done it up, that means you're not selling enough food and you've had to do it up.
has to have like haunted hotel vibes. That's yeah. when you know it's good.
I want it to look like it was built in the 60s and it's been passed down through like generation and, well, maybe probably just one generation.
Opened in 1690.
Yeah. There's a my Chinese in Liverpool is called the Big Bowl Noodle Bar and it's run by a fella called John Chan.
He is
the scousest. He's got a thicker scouser accent than me, but then he will turn and talk to his staff in full on Mandarin.
Yeah,
and it's such a mad just juxtaposition, right? So he's literally like, oh, yeah, how have you been going? All right, yeah. Now, what are you having? Yeah, hot and sour soup stars, yes. Pro crackers, pro toast, yeah. Some of the chicken, fried rice, chips, bit of curry sauce. What do you want to drink, lad? You having a tiger? You want the same as him? Sam. And then he will turn, and obviously I'm not going to do this bit, but he'll turn and speak.
That worked. You're safe here.
It's been long.
And it's such a magic. And for years, me and Carl have been going here since I was like 18. Uh-huh. And he's always been the guy who runs it. And we've always been like, I wonder what his name is, right? And he's like, oh, I don't know. And we've always sort of like speculated that it'll be a really scouse name followed by a Chinese surname or the other way around. And we were in there one day and he's on the phone and he goes, yeah, I could show me address is this. And I went to Carl, he's going to say his fucking name in a minute on this thing. He's going to say his fucking name on the thing. And then he goes, yeah, so it's John. John. And he went, Chang. Fuck off. We'd had it right all along.
It's always a way. I know a few Chinese boys are like just like old men's names that you haven't heard of fucking 100 years, you know. Yeah.
So we had Nigel Ng on our podcast ages ago, and apparently
what's that, Vietnamese or something?
He's Malaysian. And apparently like when the Brits like colonized that part of the world, all they left them was like white names. So like his real name is Malaysian. He's called fucking Nigel. That's not made up. His fucking name's Nigel.
That was on like some poll one time where it was the most changed name in the UK.
Yeah, you would.
Like, anyone that was Nigel was just like, fuck this, I can't handle this.
His brother's called Gary. There's Asian Keiths.
Keith's a hilarious Asian.
Keith's great. Keith, like fucking hell. People call cats Keith now.
My uncle used to work with a Chinese fella who was called Keith, but the Chinese fella couldn't say Keith, so he pronounced it Quiche, and he was just known as Quiche on the building site. So, and you know, like when your uncle's mates become like your uncles by proxy.
Yeah.
So I was in the pub one day as a kid, and my uncle's just like, "This is your uncle Quiche." And even as like a 12-year-old, it was the funniest fucking thing in the world to me. He's still called Quiche. That's his name.
Big,
you know what I mean?
That's Quiche.
It's a Johnny Cash song, a boy named Quiche.
Johnny Quiche. Do you reckon Mandarin, a thick Scouse accent and a thick Belfast accent all sound the same from about 50 metres away?
I think Scouse is a lot more similar to like Arabic.
All right.
There's a lot more like... Like, that could either be, you know what I mean?
Didn't you tell me somebody thought you were Iranian one time?
Syrian. That was a comic. That was a comic in fucking, in the comedy cellar in New York. I sat round.
And sitting there smoking a shisha. Are you Syrian? Like, fuck off.
I was just talking to another comic, and the other guy, like, just sat there sort of in silence, and the other comic I was talking to got off, and he goes, hey, man, my name's John. Are you Syrian? That was his first guess. It wasn't like he'd had two or three before it. His first shot was Syrian. Like, most people in New York think I'm either Irish or Scottish. They don't ever go to, like, Scouse, because it's not really in their vernacular. I think Paddy the Baddy will help me in my career with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, this fella thought I was fucking Syrian.
And he looks like a little Dutch girl. So it's very confusing. Don't tell myself. Please don't tell me.
That's hilarious.
Remember Molly McCann, they were getting fucked out of the gig in Hot Water.
Yeah,
she went to the gig and she was hammered and just had, you know.
Who?
Molly McCann.
And then,
And then she was just in the middle of the show, she was just like, that's enough. And I was like, what? She was like, guys, that's enough. We can stop. I think she just wanted the back of the bar. And I was like, I can't really stop.
Yeah, man. She's a fucking...
We're in the middle of the show, Molly. You know what I mean? Like, no one's going to kick you out. Nobody's going to kick you out.
I respect that so much. So someone who's such a public figure and then still just gets absolutely fucking winged out of it when they're out. Absolutely. I love that.
Absolutely.
I've had like... Because I don't really know my limit, me. So like if I start drinking, I'm just fucking drinking. Do you know what I mean? Until like someone tells me, until someone escorts me home.
I feel your pain, brother.
And I've like obviously in Liverpool now, there's a lot of people who like want to take the odd picture or say hello or whatever. And I've had like family and friends had to stop people taking videos of me when I'm just fucking like,
oh yeah,
looking like I'm a Mortal Kombat about to be taken off, you know what I mean?
Just met a famous Syrian comedian, Adam Rowe.
The but pride like, of Syria, Adam Rowe.
Once I'm drunk, I just go vacant and silent.
Just take a memory card out of the back.
You can literally just talk to me and I will look at you and not react. You'll be like, hey, Adam, don't you think it's about time that you should go home? Like, because, you know, you can barely stand up. And I was just, I was
like, still able to drink, though.
Oh, yeah. Still got it. Then, like, people have started, like, taking videos of me and I've had, like, my cousins took phones off people, deleted it, got on recently, deleted that, threw their phone across the fucking room.
Seriously?
Because he's like, what are you filming them for? What's this for?
Oh, yeah.
To put this on fucking Instagram or Twitter or whatever. Yeah. It's not like I'm fucking Brad Pitt, is it? Yeah. Like I've got a small cult podcast following. Why the fuck are you videoing me? How long is this going to stay on your fucking memory card for? Until you can go, ah, and he was doing this night as well. Fucking leave
as if
me
anyone's going to be surprised when they show, you know, like, do you know you're a man that's a comedian and fucking talks about drinking pints all the time? Here he is, pished. You know what I mean? Yeah, no shit.
That's what I like to do. The reason I talk so much about like me drinking sort of endeavours and stuff on podcasts and in stand-up is I just want it to never be a surprise when I do something fucking...
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not a bad person when I'm drunk, but I'm just a fucking liability. A couple of months ago, I not long got back from America, and I hadn't seen my missus for a while. And we went out and had a few drinks, and I had the podcast the next day, and I woke up fucking twatted. Like, I'd really didn't remember the last like 3 or 4 hours of the night. And she's like, you're all right? She's like, yeah, you get the shower for work? I was like, yeah, got a shower, got ready. I went, right, I love you, and I'll see you in a bit. And I went to go, and she went, where are you going? And I went, I'm going to work. She goes, you got cleaning to do first. And I was like, what do you mean? She handed me a bottle of Dettol and a big load of kitchen roll. She was like, go and have a look at the window ledge. Ugh. And in the middle of the night, she'd woke up and I was just stood in her window, just pissing onto the window.
Oh, at least it was piss. I thought you'd
have a drink in a boat.
I thought you barfed on the thing, no?
No, I was pissing onto the window. And then she didn't tell me this till later on. We had our podcast quiz that night. And she was coming with her friends. And I was telling everyone the story of me pissing on the window. Because I'm like, I'm telling it before she tells you it. Do you know what I mean? If I tell you that it's funny, she tells you that it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get ahead of it. So I was like, yeah, so I pissed on the window ledge. And I was laughing. She went, yeah, that's not all you did. And I went, oh, what the fuck are you doing here?
This is like a murder mystery.
And she goes,
that's not all.
She goes, I haven't told you yet what I found on the coffee table. And I was like, what do you mean? She went, well, you fell asleep on the couch. So you must have got up in the night and you've gone into the living room rather than coming back in bed. And I went, what did you find on the coffee table? She went, you don't want me to tell you in front of these people. And I was like, right, get over there. I went, what is it? She went, I'll tell you tomorrow. I went, fuck it. My anxiety's through the roof here.
Oh,
tell
no,
me
I hate
now.
That.
I haven't even told this on our podcast. I'd gone for a shit in the night and obviously like missed the toilet a bit.
Shits in the night.
And I'd got like in her bathroom, there's a washing basket. And I've took a pair of her knickers out and I've wiped me shite up with her knickers. And then I've gone in the living room and left them on the coffee table and got to sleep on the couch.
Well, I thought you were going to say...
You shat on a glass coffee table.
Because you said I missed the toilet a bit and I was like, I bet that. It's another room, lad.
No, I cleaned up my shite. I've gone in her finger and this is a cloth and I've got a pair of her knickers and fucking cleaned up my shite with them.
I know when you're in a bathroom and you're like, tile, nah. Toilet roll, nah. What else is around here?
No, but I've got bad IBS to the point where... I can get rid of a roll of toilet roll with a good shit, do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So I've probably had a shite and there's been like half a toilet roll left. I've used all of that and then I've gone fucking hell, like, and I've wiped my arse or something. I don't remember it, but I've wiped something up that's come out of my arsehole with their knickers. And then instead of going, oh, I'll put these in the bin, I've wandered into the living room and gone, I'll deal with that in the morning.
Love that. Yeah, love that.
Gone okay.
Should you just shit in the washing basket? They're going to get washed anyway. You know what
I mean? I wish you were there to advise me at the time.
Adam, don't clean the ass with the dirty knickers. It's a rookie mistake.
Why did you bring it with you? Why did you bring it with you into the fight?
Night water?
Can
we
I just
for night
say
water?
Before we carry on discussing this, there's no logic to any of the actions here, okay? It wasn't like I woke up and was like, oh, a window, that's where you piss. It wasn't like I went and had a shower and was like, how can I make this funny? I didn't do any of it with consciousness. I just did it because I was on autopilot.
Is there anything more depressing than the drunk shite?
Sorry.
When you get, do you ever stay in a hotel like by yourself and you're steaming and you just kick all the gear off and you're just sitting and just breathing like that, like just reflecting on your life, just fucking, you're like, I'm not gonna flush that.
Get up at yourself and look at the mirror like, you're a real fucking piece of shit.
You're a real piece of shit. Nothing like seeing your own fucking shitting body in a mirror. Oh, you know what I mean? You just like fold it over.
I've done some fucking weird stuff when I've been drunk before. Like when I lived with my dad, there was one night where I just like so I like corned beef. So there's always corned beef in like the fridge in my dad's or the
house. Are you sure you have IBS or are you just fucking eating too much corned beef?
It can't be that.
Do you have hemorrhoids, lad?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's a drop in the ocean with his arsehole.
I'm looking at my arsehole or asking a doctor to.
Oh no, trust me, you'd feel it.
It's a busy junction.
Yeah, no, it hurts down there. I can't wipe my arse without wincing at ice. Like, yeah, I probably have, yeah. I don't remember the last time there wasn't red on me toilet paper, okay? Like, yeah.
Confirmed, you're diagnosed right now.
Yeah.
Dr. McCann over
there.
Oh, yeah. Proctologist.
Does your toilet paper look like Hartley's? Yeah, you've got piles.
Oh, it's fucking, like, my bowel movements are so fucking bad. It's just not even worth getting it, because it's just disgusting. But one night, obviously the next day I wake up, and my dad goes, remember what you did last night? So I was like, no.
Have it all the time, but just
yeah, all the time. So when I lived with my dad, it was so bad because I was young and I was drinking more than I will now. Do you know what I mean? One night, he goes, "You remember what you did last night? What I caught you doing?" I was like, "No." He went, "You've gone in the fridge. You've got a tin of corned beef out. You've opened the tin. It's not like packets with slices in. You've sliced it up in the kitchen. You've cut your finger." I was like, "I wonder where that come from? A fucking big slice down my finger." He went, "So I just caught you just hiding slices of corned beef around the house." So I'm walking around the house with slices of corned beef with a bleeding finger, just putting them like under the couch, like under the cushions of the couch.
What a game show.
Fucking ridiculous. And I didn't believe him, but he was like, "Well, I haven't found them all." He went, "I've caught you halfway through doing it." He went, "There's not a full tin of corned beef there." And he's collected all the ones that he'd found. He's like, "That's not a full tin of corned beef, so you're going to have to find them." And it was about 6 weeks later, found the last one, which was in my dad's sock drawer.
Oh.
I'd gone into my dad, like, I just hadn't cleaned my socks. And I was like, "Dad, I'm going to have to borrow a pair of socks. I've got to go." And I went in my dad's sock drawer and looked at the back, and there's a fucking rank piece of corned beef.
I'd say it was well corned at that stage. Fucking hell.
It's beef jerky at that point. It's all fucking dry.
Corned beef jerky.
I'm like, what sort of murder scene is this? Just fucking blood and beef everywhere. What do you do? Just let a dog into the house?
I find a corned beef. Good lad.
My dad goes to me one time. He goes, "Do you know what time you got in last night?" I was like, "Oh, no, not at all." He goes, "I do." I was like, "Why?" He goes, "Because the neighbour knocked on the fucking door at 5:15 in the morning because you were stood at the other end of the street singing 'You'll Never Walk Alone' with your top off." So I've come home, got notes off, "You'll never," but I'm not walking home. Yeah. I'm stood outside like a neighbour's house, like 200 yards away. So my dad can't hear it, but I've fucking woke the neighbour up. And he's come down and gone, "Mick, your fucking Adam's up here singing you fucking 5:15 in the bastard morning." And he's had to go up and like drag me home.
When you do that in Liverpool, the people just have to sing along. Just yeah. Go to bed, will you? It's like a national anthem. You just have to fucking let him get through it before he gets a fucking hang.
You're singing your blue nose twat. Get involved. Come on.
Oh, God. So I don't have any fucking really good, like... My problem is, I'll be absolutely fucking blackout and people will be like, "No, you seemed all right."
Yeah.
Like, I'm able to just play it off. Face. Yeah. And I'm absolutely fucking spinning in space, like, but...
I'd be such a wreck. If I had the ability to be absolutely blackout and fine, if people were like, "You were all right last night," and I didn't remember it, I'd be so, like, caution to the wind, don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad that I'm a nightmare when I'm fucked so that I don't always want to be fucked.
Yeah, so the people take care of you a bit.
That's like me.
He woke up in a forest, this cunt.
Yeah. A couple of years ago.
Wow.
I, like, one night, it was, like, two friends, like, joint 18th birthdays, and they used to do, what's the shot called now?
Absinthe.
absinthe, and like it was this place in Cookstown, like a wee small country town, and the bar sold absinthe, but to get it you had to get your wrist stamped.
Yeah, because you can't have two.
You can only have two stamps, and then that was it. So I go up there and I get two, and I was like, that's not that bad. And then my mate Chrissy was like, I bet you can handle another two, lad. And then toxic masculinity kicked, and I was like, I'll fucking show you, Chrissy, I'll drink every bit in this place. Went to the bathrooms, scrubbed away at my wrist until the stamps were gone, went to a different bartender, was like, two absinthe, took them, and then 15 minutes passed and just woke up. And I was outside, like I seen the sky. And I was like, oh fuck, I must have went back to like one of their houses there and afters. And I woke up in the garden, I'll get up here now and see what the crack is with the boys. And there was a fucking lake beside me. And I was like, I don't know anybody that much, Molly. And then and I was like, holy fuck. And it had rained that night, so like my passport was waterlogged, my phone was fucked with water damage. And I was like, what the fuck do I do? But because I'm still steaming, I'm not processing how bad it is.
Yeah.
So I'm walking down the main Cookstown Road trying to find my lift. Nobody's stopping because I'm covered in muck and shit. Like, so then I finally get to someone's door, knock the door. Fella answers the door. And I'm trying to like get my story. And I'm like, I don't know what to say here. I went out last night for a friend's 18th. I've woke up in a forest. I've my phone's damaged and all. And before I could finish, he goes, get up them stairs now and get them clothes off you and hop in the shower. And I'm going up those oil boy stairs, and like halfway through I'm like, this man could rape me, like.
Oh, that's the start of a Netflix documentary.
But at the same time, at least I'll be clean, like. Yeah. So I go and clean up. His wife makes me a full fry and then like drives me home. And I give them like a M&S, like Christmas basket, you know.
That is unbelievable.
That's all you had on you.
Yeah, it was a Christmas.
lost his phone and his passport.
He still got an M&S. Thank God I had that ball of slur, or I just could have got real messy.
Do you like mint slices? It's an after it. But
oh my God.
What, was it absinthe? Fucking hell.
Yeah. That's the kind of shit that you...
I've had it, but like it's just a fucking off switch, innit? Like it that's is. All it is.
Yeah, it's
it literally is.
There was
bullet to the brain, like.
We used to play comedians footy in Liverpool. With like all the lads from Manchester to come over and that. And we had like a Christmas night out. But like so it was like £3 each to rent the pitch for the hour. But we'd all pay a fiver and the extra £2 went into a kitty for the Christmas night out. And we started at like 11:30 in the morning with a big Chinese like lunch. And just drinking all day. So we were with, like, Carl was there, Paul Blair, who owns Hot Water, was there, Pete Otway, I don't know whether you know Pete. There's fucking loads of us. Carl set the fire alarm off a Hot Water Comedy Club and they had to evacuate it. They got everyone back in. Then Paul Blair got kicked out of his own comedy club for heckling. Because he stood with two drinks at the door and it's open mic night, it's a Sunday night and it's like Paul Cunt's driven from Norwich to do like his first 10 at like the big comedy club and Paul's going, shite! He won't be back!
Fucking Mitzi Shore.
You imagine being an open micer and the owner starts heckling. That would make me quit stand up.
Oh, it was fucking grim. He got kicked out and Pete Otway, the reason I remember this story is he woke up in Huddersfield, which is about 100 miles from Liverpool.
Fucking hell.
Because he got on a train to go home and just fell asleep. But he didn't even remember getting asked to leave the train. He just woke up in Huddersfield and had to like get a taxi all the way back to where he lived.
Oh man, that's a fucking
100
nightmare.
Miles from where the night out was.
That's a deep sleep.
Yeah.
Have you ever had potching?
I don't think it was real potching.
No.
Some guy was like, oh, this is potching. But
it's like some old Irish, you know, brew.
It's like whiskey.
It's what is it, potatoes?
Don't they mention
something
it in the Humours
like
of Whiskey
more
song?
Like vodka.
It's more like vodka, but it's made from like potatoes or
spud
something.
Spud juice.
Have you ever had it?
I have some in my house.
Oh, for fuck's sake! Patreon special.
Plum poaching.
Plum poaching. That's what they do. People will drop like sweets into it. You know, like a boiled sweet.
Have
like
you heard the song The Humours of Whiskey?
Yeah.
I think they reference it in that.
Yeah.
I think that was originally about poaching rather than whiskey.
Yeah. I had it once and we went down to watch an Ireland match, a rugby match in Dublin. And the oldest man on this bus was like a bottle like that with some weird shit in it. And he was passing it around and had a sip. And he said something like, don't stray too far from a toilet now. And I was like, all right, man. Now you're like 19, you're like, fuck off, you cunt. And I sipped it and just immediately like, just like that. I was like, I'm going to shame myself.
Irish moonshine.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. Fucking moonshite. More like, stopped at that Apple Greens and they're fucking emptied the place. Unbelievable. So would Have A Word be the biggest, what's the biggest podcast in the UK? You probably have the biggest Patreon, do you?
We've got the biggest Patreon, we think, yeah. Like, there's a website called Graftreon where you can see the data, and we're the biggest in the UK on that, yeah. We're sort of like 18th in the world, which is amazing. But we're not the biggest podcast. Like, Off Menu is like 3 times our listenership.
Right.
But I just don't think their fans are as avid. Our fan base is so avid and committed, and they love everything we put out. Like, we've got...
It feels like more than a podcast. You know, it is more like a movement, isn't it?
And, like, we've just been to Nashville and filmed it and released, like, a 3-part thing. Episode 1's got, like, 40,000 views.
Fucking hell.
Like, it's behind a paywall.
Yeah, it's on Patreon.
Like, what can you get 40,000 views on behind a paywall? Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, our listeners are just the best in the fucking world. And, like, it's took me from doing small tours to massive venues that I never thought I'd get to play. And it's given Dan Nightingale, who's my co-host, like... He's gone from being a club comic that everyone always thought was like not given enough opportunities by the industry. Yeah. And he never got a tour. And now he's doing big tours. Yeah. Like
Love that.
He's doing the Philharmonic Hall in Liverpool, 1,700 seats. Like
he's also doing Laveries. He's doing Laveries in November. Get a fucking ticket, you motherfuckers.
Yeah. He's doing a few more Irish dates as well. I think in Dublin, I think he's doing Whelans again, but I might be wrong there. But he's travelling all over the place. And like, as you know, the difference between getting club money and touring money is absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
So it's took him from sort of... Like, even if you're a headline club comic in the UK, you're not making good money. You're making
a living, sort of doing comedy.
You're making a surviving, aren't you? Like, you can just about, like, get by and have a decent life. And with the cost of living rising and stuff... There's club comics in the UK who need second jobs, who are headliners, like they're headlining every weekend. I'm just so glad that Dan has found something that has given him the opportunity to have a comfortable life.
Yeah.
And it's because we started a podcast in his spare room, and we've gone on from there to Zoom podcast in lockdown, became the first purpose-built studio in England, as far as we know. And then we just upgraded it, and we've got this one in Liverpool now, and... A massive team of people who make everything happen, all of them talented in their own right and doing their own thing. And it's just like it keeps going from strength to strength. It's great.
It's crazy. What's the next sort of moves? You know, because the venues are massive. Is it just more of that? Like fucking arena tours or something off the back of it?
I don't like the idea of doing an arena tour of the podcast. Like, obviously, I want my own stand up stuff to keep growing tour wise and do big theatres and whatever, and maybe arenas myself in the end. I'd like in Manchester to have. It won't work in Liverpool because Hot Water's there, but I want to have a Word Comedy Club eventually.
Nice.
When it's 7 nights a week. Nice. And it's for us.
Yeah.
Like, the audience come, but it's like, we're looking at what Rogan's done in Austin. We need that in the northwest of England. And it needs to be, if you're a big comic and you want to try stuff out, you've got somewhere you can go where you can do whatever you want and unlisted and people come for the club and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Rogan's Club is amazing. Like, it's one of the few places I've been to where I'm like, stand up looks cool as fuck on these stages. Like, it's great.
I want to own and run that.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the next big step for me is we have our comedy club where me and Dan can do whatever we want whenever we want, and then the biggest comics in the world want to come and play it.
No, that'd be sick.
Fuck yeah, that's unreal. That's giving me a mad idea. I mean, two days ago, I was for like building a shed in the middle of the country and having like some sort of retreat that you could go and have a comedy weekend, like every fucking weekend.
Yeah, mad. It's great. Like, and you know what I like too? Biggest Patreon in the UK, and the two meals you've had here so far is a KFC and a meal deal.
Yeah,
something keeping it real. That. I like that.
I've got to be honest with you. That is just because I haven't looked into it while I've been here. Like, I needed a meal deal this morning because I was like, right, I've got to get back and have this meeting. And KFC is over the road from your venue.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'll just go there. I am a posh food twat, like.
Oh, yeah, actually.
Oh, I'm a foodie. And if I can, like, get a really good restaurant, I will go to it.
What kind of, like, what are you talking about in that regard? Like, what do you like in terms of the posh end?
It doesn't have to be posh. I just, like, I will go on Google and find the best restaurants in Belfast. If I wasn't going for tea with you tonight and I was going on my own, I will find the best restaurants I can.
Oh, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. I'm not looking for it to be posh. I want it to be 4.4 awesome. Or above on Google reviews.
Yeah.
We should have went to Edo.
Yeah.
Not as fun as a Lee Garden.
But I love a shit Chinese as well. Like, a shit Chinese is my favourite food.
But this is, like, pretty legit
this
Chinese.
This is pretty legit Chinese. You know?
You when know? I say shit, I just mean, like, it looks like shit-o.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Check.
Like, that's my favourite cuisine is Chinese. If I'm hungover, Chinese. If I'm in a really good mood, Chinese. But, like, if I'm looking for like good food, I stay clear of Chinese for that.
Yeah.
It's not the best food. It's just, it's MSG in it. It's just, it's crack.
Yeah.
It's fucking Chinese.
It's
fucking,
that's the bane of my existence.
That's the name of the episode. Right at that.
A good Italian, a good steak. Although, this is arrogant as fuck, but I don't think there's restaurants that can do a steak as well as I can. You know, because they're trying to do 20 at a time because of how many customers there is. A steak needs attention. So I had two steaks when we were in Tenerife with the lads. One of them was a really great restaurant, and the other one, they fucked it up a bit. But the really great restaurant, the steak, I'd give it 8 out of 10. I've had two that I've made myself this week at home, and they're both easy 9s.
Where's the best steak you've had that you ever made?
Hawksmoor.
Where's that at?
It's a chain now. There's a couple in London. There's one in Manchester, one in Edinburgh, and there's a new one in Liverpool. But the first time I went to Hawksmoor in Manchester was the best steak I've ever had in a restaurant. I got a big T-bone bastard, and it was just...
Is that what it said on the menu?
Yeah.
Big T-bone bastard.
Yeah.
I remember doing a bit of work for this company. They did like fitness meals or something. But they were like, we can get you like a... It was like a 42-ounce like tomahawk steak if you want it. And like make a video with it or something. I was like, fucking right, I'll take it. And it was like a baseball bat with this thing on the top. It was huge. And my sort of father-in-law, he built this big flat top thing with the gas burners under it. And I was like, right, I'll cook this. I'll probably fuck it up. And just threw it on. And I was just guessing. I was like doing that fucking, you know, Jamie Oliver thing. Does that feel good? No. And just by fluke, it was absolute perfection. I had no idea what it was doing, but it was like, that seems...
It's all just like playing it by ear with a steak.
Seems good, and then took it off and rested it for a minute, and I was like, that is absolutely fucking banging.
Yeah.
And now I have to eat 4 kilos of steak.
I'm going to just show you this one I made the other night, because I was so fucking... Like, the ones I had in... Like, look at that.
This is what happens when you turn 30, you know what I mean? There's no more tits on the phone.
Nah, that is horny now. What do you do to the mushrooms now? What are you doing with that now?
So, with the here's what I do. When I'm trying to be healthy,
uh-huh.
or like... High protein. Steak's great for that. Because you get a good amount of calories and there's no carbs or anything. So I'll cook my steak. And then when the steak's resting, because you've got to rest it for at least 5 minutes before you cut it, I use the stuff that's still in the pan from the steak to cook the mushrooms.
Oh, why?
Sexy.
Look at that. Look at the crust on it. The red. Oh!
Do you like it rare?
Medium rare.
Same.
I don't like it rare. So when I go to a restaurant, sometimes I'll order it medium. Because I know if they fuck it up and it's too light, then it'll be medium rare.
Yeah.
And if it's medium well, it's like, all right, right, whatever.
I don't know if I've been anywhere where they underdo it. They always like overdo it a bit just to compensate.
If you go to a proper steak place, yeah. like a sort of noncy steak chef,
yeah.
they always want to do it less.
Yeah.
So then if you order it, like they will always underdo it a little
has
bit.
Has to be a nonce.
It has to be a pedophile. Yeah. Pedophiles make the best steaks.
They know pink meat, let me tell you. If anyone knows about it,
they always want it like underdone, like there.
Underage and underdone. Get in the pan.
Oh, that's the best bit. Take it when it's blue, you know what I mean?
I don't care. Like, I'll have it rare. I'll have it. It better have a bit of fucking texture on it if it's well done or medium well.
You've got to
well,
get a crust
you know,
on it. And you know. Can't over-season a steak. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So coat it in mold and salt. Coat it.
Yeah.
Coat it in pepper. Coat it.
You should have a cooking channel app.
Coat it.
That's the name of it. Coat it.
Coat it.
Coat it while
I'm
rolling.
Oil in the pan, right? 1 minute on each side. And then really sear the edges. I like a sirloin. So you've got to really like, really render that fat down. So that's got to be held in there for a good 2 minutes. So it's proper like all the way down. Then when you put it back in, another minute on each side. But for the last minute on each side, you want to put butter in. Garlic, like as much garlic as you like, and loads of rosemary, and just keep soaking the steak in all that butter that melts.
He's
leave it to rest for 5 or 10 minutes.
I'm bricked up.
I want a fucking steak, man. Have you been anywhere? Where have you been traveling to? Have you been any like fucking? I know you were in the States there, but have you done any sort of Southeast Asia type shits?
No, we're thinking of doing a Patreon special for our podcast in Thailand next year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. We're currently taking bets on which one of us doesn't come back.
Who would be the biggest liability, like, out of the group? Like, if you're on, like, a session or a night out?
Who's going on that trip, first of all?
It'll be me, Dan, Carl, Finn, Steve, Jack Finnegan. I don't know why he always gets his full name. Will Hutchby. It'll be 7 of us.
So out of them, boys, who's
Martin
like...
Oh, will come as well, 8.
Who'd be like the fucking one that you're like, ah, fuck, this will be a nightmare?
It'd be me or Dan.
Really?
Yeah, Dan's a recovering cokehead.
Uh-huh.
So when he's drunk, he's a fucking liability because he's used to having coke to level him out, and he can't have coke anymore. So like, he just gets absolutely fucking hammered, and then he's like, and you, like, it's really annoying because I'm like his podcast partner and his business partner and his friend, and I've got to support his cocaine sobriety. When he's that fucking a night out, I'm like, oh, I just want to give him a fucking big bag of Charlie and just sort this out, because that's the only thing that's going to make my night better. Like, he needs to have Charlie so that I can relax.
He's being sick all over the place, and you're like, nah, don't go back in the powder, lad. Get that in you.
I just, like, so we were in Tenerife recently, and he's looking at these, he's a bit drunk, and he's like, I want to go out to this, and he's pointing at the worst bar in the world, like the worst bar you can possibly, like, there's just fat old men in there who ate the wives looking at each other,
the red
like,
line,
this, like beam lights coming on, they're like, oh, I'm on my fucking holidays, and Dan's like, let's go in here, and I'm like, I wish you had a bag of cocaine so you could see how fucking shite it looks in there.
In Thailand, you may like spike his noodles or something. Oh, just to make sure.
But the other, like, if Dan was leveled out or didn't, it's me. Like, I'm the one they've got to keep an eye on. Really. Like I just don't know me limit at all.
To have a word, lads, at a ping pong show would be good crack.
Oh, I'm good at table tennis.
Oh, it's a real craft.
I was that one. There wasn't a lot of fucking table tennis going on. Let me tell you, it was fucking we got the fucking, I don't know, it wasn't the Premier League we went to. It was like some fucking,
you don't want to go and see the good one there, though, do you?
Nah.
You want to see the one who can barely fucking fight it.
Like open night like ping pong.
This was just someone's auntie with a fucking accommodating vagina.
The owner's tackling him in the back.
Fucking pop shit.
I swear to God, this woman squatted down and a hamster fell out of her. And she like kicked it up the arse to get it moving. It was like, oh, fuck. And then it scuttled off. And I was just sitting there like, what the fuck is that?
You see the hamster on a little stool 2 minutes later, just smoking. Like, oh, yeah. Fucking four shows a day, I'm up there.
Should I go a trade?
Follow your dreams, he said. Here I am.
I'm on a cruise ship next week.
I'm actually really good at ping pong. That's the shit.
I was missold the idea.
Yeah. I haven't touched a bat yet. For fuck's sake. Yeah,
fucking... We're gonna do Thailand, we think, but we also might do Miami.
Oh, aye.
We've just done Nashville, so Miami might be the next American one. Because also we get to see the Dolphins play and Lionel Messi, which we would all like to do.
Why was he nice? He'd fucking
into Miami.
Enter Miami.
If you dig Dan in Miami and he survives, he's fully recovered.
Oh yeah,
he's kicked it for sure.
He'll be there in the skiing gear, ready to fucking hit the slopes.
He's walking around doing his absolute best to avoid coke, and I'm trying to find a good pint of Guinness in Miami.
He's walking around like Bane with a mask.
I'm tipping Guinness. Don't let me out. Some fucking beach bar.
What kind of a fucking pour is that, lad?
90 seconds, mate. 90 seconds. And then you'd push it away.
Coked it.
Complaining about the head on it at 42 degrees.
No, I'm already pissed. I don't give a fuck.
I'm such a Guinness nonce, you know.
Yeah?
I'm so, like, if someone
do you watch the Guinness Guru? Have you seen that guy?
No. I've done the tour in Dublin, no. And I did, like, the special one where he tells you why it's all the way it is, and I'm just like, yeah. It's got to be good. It's got to be at least a 7 out of 10 for me to have it.
Is the pint at the end of that tour as good as everyone says it is? Like, is that where you're going to get
it's
the best?
It's not the best one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No.
It couldn't be.
It's not the best
one. The best one's going to be, like, a real shithole bar in Dublin. That's where you're going to get the best.
Apparently, Gravediggers, the John Cavanas in Dublin's the best one.
What were we in? Bows is good.
Oh, I've been in there. It is good. And Devitt's or Devitt's.
It's good.
It's good down there.
That's like an EastEnders kind of bar.
Yeah, yeah. Down by Whelan's. There's a place in Liverpool called Pogue Mahone's. They do one of the best ones. Shenanigans in Liverpool do one of the best ones in Liverpool. But there's a couple of places in Liverpool where you can just go and you're going to get a banging 9 out of 10 every time.
Nice.
Still the best Guinness I've had is my in-laws were having some sort of family do and they rented the fucking... You know, the pump and the tap and the cooler and all that shit. But the line from the keg to the actual tap was only about that long.
Yeah.
So the fucking pint just came out like fucking shaving foam. It was unbelievable.
With Guinness, apparently, you want it to be popular in the bar you're going to.
Oh, yeah.
If it's sat in the lines, it's shite.
Yeah.
You want it to have only been poured 2 minutes before.
Yeah.
For someone else, and then the next one's going to be all right.
I was in a bar. I was actually in like the smoking area out the back of this bar in Glasgow, and you could see the lines come out of the back of the thing and along the back of the building and into the bar. And I was like, I bet you that's fucking pish. Like,
yeah.
Because it was about 15 meters of it lying in a tube.
Yeah.
Before it went in the glass.
The place called round the corner from, it's on the same street, I think, as Lafferty's, The Points.
The Points, yeah.
They do a good one in Belfast, yeah.
It's funny about Elliot's Steel there.
The main bar in Lafferty's does a decent one too, like the downstairs bar. That's like the
I had the Guinness Zero last night in Lafferty's. It was good. Surprised me.
What's like, does it taste good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best Zero I've had.
Yeah.
I don't like the beers.
I had my first non-alcoholic beer last week. Little special.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. So I was at my mate's house and I was like, this is the first ever non-alcoholic I've ever had. And it actually wasn't too bad. But oh, I still wouldn't bother. Like,
I'd rather just have a Diet Coke than a Peroni Zero.
We've said this. For sure. Yeah.
100%.
Because with a Diet Coke, you just have a Diet Coke and then you're like, I don't need a drink for another half hour.
Yeah.
Like Peroni Zero, you're still going to have 12 for some reason. Does not do it anything.
Yeah.
Constantly drinking.
Yeah, you still get like a sugar hangover the next day. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck was I playing out there? That's like that old Tommy Tiernan bit. You know, the non-drinkers having like 15 Fantas and they're going absolutely fucking nuts on the dance floor. And I was like, fuck you, dear man.
I went down a Tommy Tiernan rabbit hole a couple of weeks ago and he's got this bit about like useless bits of information in his brain.
Yeah.
And he's like, Sandra Bullock's husband is thinking about moving to Texas to be nearer their children. And he's like, why do I know that?
Yeah.
He hasn't done it yet. He's thinking about
why
it.
Why the fuck? that
clip's in like an American comedy club, I think.
It's in a little comedy club, yeah. It fucking killed me. It just came on YouTube. I was watching something else and then that came on. And I was like, oh, watch this. And I was in bed on my own, just fucking screaming, laughing at it. Like, the funniest thing I'd seen in it. It's very rare stand-up makes a stand-up laugh on their own.
Oh, he's a beast.
It fucking wrote me off. How the fuck do I know that?
So intense. So intense. I'm opening for him here. I opened for him last year, Pat, at the Ivy Gardens in Dublin. I'm doing it again this year. It's the last gig I did where I was fucking petrified. For some reason.
Yeah.
It's
a hero, innit?
I was like, I've got to meet this cunt, then I got to go do stand-up for 20 minutes after. And he's just... It's great to see like a comedian like that just also be pacing up and down shitting himself.
Yeah.
And he was just standing beside a tree, no phone or anything, just like. And I went up and introduced myself. He goes, "Hello, Colin. How's it going?" And he just stood there for the rest of the time. And then I came off and I walked past him. He was like, "Great work." And I went, "What does that mean, you cunt?"
You fucking start me up.
It's like, great work. Either mean it or you're being sarcastic, you bastard. Fuck yeah, anyway. Me just sweating from the fucking t-shirt and everything.
He's like one of my dream guests for our podcast.
Oh, dude, he'd be great.
Get him on no sweat.
He'd be great.
Do you reckon?
Have you asked him?
No. Got no contact for him.
Of course he would.
Yeah, no, he definitely would.
I'd love to get him on. I think he'd be unbelievable.
We'll chat after. Not that I can sort anything, but I'm pretty sure I know who you would just contact to get that. Get the wheels turning. Yeah.
I just think he'd be great at it.
Fucking right.
Who's like more like dream guest you have in your kind of own head?
Sigourda.
Yeah,
he'd be amazing. I think Sigourda's probably one of the best podcasters in the world. I think him and Bert are so good together.
Yeah.
Either of them. And we nearly got both of them, but they were just so busy with their UK tours.
Were you guys in Runcorn at the time, or were you in Liverpool?
No, in Liverpool, yeah. But they were doing Manchester. So it was like, I'll get you the car. And they were like, we're fucking billionaires. We don't need a car. It's just
time-wise,
we haven't got time to go and do it. Any of the big American guys, like, you just want big, like, the biggest comics in the UK don't podcast. The biggest comics in America do.
Yeah.
So you want the big American guys to come on. Some of the big UK ones come on the shit at it. Because they're just like too, oh, I can't say that because then I won't get to do the one show.
Yeah. Like, they've closed the gates of Valhalla. Like, no more one
we've
show.
We've had big name comics from the UK come on and they're nervous. And then Jim Jefferies come on and was like, I was fucking 18 women with George Lazenby. And you're like, right, okay, cool. It's just like, it's a different culture and it's more podcastable, the American comic culture.
So yeah.
All the big ones I went on are either Irish or American.
Yeah.
Bill Burr would do it, surely, would he not?
He would, yeah. If he comes over, and I think he will be, because he's got loads of Europe announced already.
Tell him there's like a drum kit in the fucking in the green room.
We'll get you the drum kit built. I think he'd do it, you know. I met him a couple of years ago, did a few shows with him, and he was very sound to me, so I've very fortunately got his number, so I can just text him and be like, lad, do you fancy coming to do this?
I would have Bill Burr tortured if I had his fucking number.
See, if I had anyone like pretty famous...
Is this, Bill, is this funny? I'm a bit of a...
That's what I mean.
Do you know who Philip Schofield is?
I'm just scared of just drunk down.
Let me catch you up on the story of Madeleine McCann. Okay, sit down.
Madeleine!
They've been looking for her for fucking years. Anyway, like, there's this fucking fat Polish woman who thinks it might be her.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. What about that cunt? Fucking hell.
I was thinking, like, imagine it actually was her and she was so stinking that the parents were like, it couldn't be. It couldn't be her.
I'm trying to get to work on stage now is I don't think they'd have wanted her back. If the DNA test was like, it's her, I think they'd have been like, no, we're not looking for you.
Close the case quick.
What, was she German or something? Or where was
she's Polish.
Polish?
Yeah. She's like, Madeleine McCann. And they were like, no. She's like, but look at my face. It's very similar. And they were like, you don't look fucking anything like her. You don't look anything like her. She was like, but I have the mark on my eyes. Like, the fucking wrong guy. Like,
yeah. DNA test comes through positive. And they're like, I don't know.
Still no.
Moves home, she have the buyload of Polish fucking
know, like, you know, if you got a child who goes missing, right? You know, once they've been missing for like a year, why are you still looking? Because it's not the same person anymore, is it? They've been through some shit. Just forget about it. Yeah. Let them live the life they've got. You move on. Yeah, make a new kid. Everyone's happy.
Well, Adam, they killed her, so they got to pretend to give a fuck still.
Gaggle face.
Fucking mental timestamp. That's coming out.
We even figured our podcast where anytime we're doing something like a bit racy or a bit kind of mad, Niall just kind of sits on the camera like,
and looks like a gecko under a heat lamp. It's like, just got some editing to be done. Oh my god. Right, we're going to get out of here and go over some fucking succulent Chinese meal. Cheers for coming on, man. Tour show is in Belfast when? Say that again. December 7th?
Belfast is December 7th. The rest of the Irish states are next year. Glasgow, I know you've got a decent listenership over there as well.
Fuck yeah.
The Pavilion. Very nearly sold out, actually. That's going to be a good one. But adamrowe.co.uk for all the tickets. Europe's already on sale, and Australia and America are being added in the interim.
Happy days.
Fuck yeah.
That's all, folks. Good luck and fuck you. Cheers, Aaron.
Good luck.
Cheers now.
Bye, boys.